Our reading today comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to the people of Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him.
Thank you. The word of God for the people of God. It's a beautiful message, a Christmas promise message, isn't it? About the story of Jesus going into the temple and two devout believers being there with him, meeting Jesus with that same excitement and reverence that hopefully we've had this season. Let us pray. Prince of Peace, you have come. Be in our hearts this day. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. So for many, there's joy around Christmas, right? And how can there not be, right? We've had 4 weeks of Advent preparation, right? All of this buildup just gets that Christmas Day energy just a-flowing, right? Yeah, some put up a tree, some bake cookies or prepare special foods, right? Some clean their house. Great! Yeah, bless you. Yeah. I'm thankful for those who clean their house when I'm invited over. That's just really sweet. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah, and then we get to the night before Christmas, and we come to worship, right? And we're excited, and I don't know about you, but that's when we always get dressed up, and we come in with our glow, and then we hold our candles that cause more of a glow, and then we leave with that glow, and it's this pure excitement for what's to come the next morning, right? And we're told that the Savior of the world is what's going to come the next morning. But even without our religious convictions or those practices of church, right, Christmas morning can feel like a pretty big thing, right? And yet within minutes, seconds really, right, everything seems to go back to a regular routine, right? The dishes are in the sink, gotta be done, right? The mess is back on the floor, right? It's nap time. Right? The regular routine of life. It doesn't take long for the Christmas decorations to look anything but tidy. And we're right back to where we started. Now, I would like you to wonder with me for a moment. What if you didn't have all the preparation pieces? What if we didn't talk about Christmas coming over and over and over again until it was actually there? What if there was no countdown calendar, right? Or Advent chocolate door opening thing, right? What if we didn't know that Christmas was gonna be a thing? And we just woke up on December 25th or whenever and came out into our living rooms or our kitchens and something was different. You can picture, if you'd like, a tree with presents. You could picture maybe your coffee poured with a little scone next to it, right, untouched, right? Whatever that is. But what if you came out and all of a sudden, boom, there was Christmas just there for you, waiting for you? Would that be better than all the work that goes into it ahead of time? Would it be worse? Or would it be just different, right? When I read this story of Simeon and Anna, I feel like that's kind of what happened to them. They hadn't set up a tree or wrapped presents. They hadn't prepared exactly for this day. But all of a sudden, one day, through the temple doors come a young woman and a man and a baby. And boom, it was Christmas. They didn't necessarily call it that, right? That's what it was. It was this new excitement. This thing had happened. And Simeon recognized it. That's what Jessica said. She read that. She said that Simeon, a just and devout Israelite who was endowed with a gift of prophecy, who had received this divine message that his death would not take place until he had seen the Messiah, he entered the temple that day and he recognized the holy child for what it was. And he took him in his arms, and he gave thanks for the privilege of seeing Jesus. It was like a woohoo Christmas present kind of moment, right? If you need a better visual, maybe think of the Lion King. Is it Rafiki who grabs the baby and holds him up there, right? If we do a baptism in this church, I'm totally doing that. Yeah. Right? But that's what he does. He just takes that baby and he holds him up there in the light of the temple, in the light of God's light, and he says, "Thank you, God, for this privilege to hold this, your Holy One." And it's a big deal. I have to pause for a minute and think of how Mary might have felt. Right? Like she's doing the obligatory thing, the thing that the law of that told her she had to do, right? After so many days, you bring the baby to the temple. First, after 8 days, you circumcise the baby and name him, and then after 40 days, you bring him to the temple to be blessed, right? There's a whole series of rules, right? And this was one of those three rules, and she was doing what she's told to do, right? And this young woman who just gave birth in what we presume is, you know, a lowly place, right? Who comes to make an offering, which by a lot of measures wasn't equal to what it really should have been because they didn't have enough to give on the altar, right? But she brought something. And she walks into this temple, and this old, seasoned gentleman, who looks maybe like he's been living in the temple for a while, right, snatches her baby out of her arms and lifts him high and gives thanks to God. It was either super reassuring from what happened with the shepherds and the angels and all those other things that we read about, or it was super awkward, right? So sometimes I think Anna is a gift to Mary, just like Elizabeth was. Because it says in the Bible that while Simeon was doing this great grand gesture of thanksgiving, this moment of personal privilege, that Anna, someone who'd been cared for by the church community in her poverty and in her widowness, she comes in and sees this and she knows too. And she sings God's praises. I like to think that that was for Mary. A little reassurance that this seasoned gentleman wasn't going to run away with her child or do something crazy. But that a woman of age, of devotion, of faith, reassured her that what was happening was amazing. Amazing. I don't know if you identify with either of those types of reactions when something amazing happens, right? I know as a parent, one of my greatest challenges is to understand what kind of reactions my children will give in a public setting, and then I find us kind of trying to curve those a little bit to fit the appropriateness of the scenario. Sometimes I just let it be, but oftentimes I try to be careful, right? If Alexander walked into this room and grabbed a baby and held it up, right, we would all be more than a little nervous. Yeah. Oh, you should see. Abigail keeps inviting Elizabeth to sit on her lap. She says, "I'll hold you like a baby." Have you met my two girls? They weigh the same amount. Yeah, it's beautiful and crazy, right? And if she tried to lift her up, whew. Right? So maybe for you this story from the Bible feels a little ridiculous, right? Who would let someone just snatch up their baby and hold them up to God and call him out as the Holy One, right? Or for maybe for you, this is one of those great reverent reminders that people who know and love God will recognize the holy when it's present. I don't know. I don't know if knowing all of the stories from this book will help me to believe more in the shepherd's story or the angel's story. I don't know if the fact that I get to cling to the rest of the stories of Jesus, knowing what it was like when he was grown up and the things that are written that we're told happened, I don't know if that'll help me to believe the birth narratives better. But I hope that they help me to recognize the Messiah. And yet, to be honest, I don't know if they will. I don't know. I'm kind of tired of hearing that saying at my house, but I'm sharing it with you anyway. I don't know. Right? Yeah. But if this is true, that Jesus is the Holy One presented to God, then I hope that as someone who trusts in God, that I will look for Jesus, that I will be open to experiencing Jesus, that I will expect to find Jesus sometime amongst those who I encounter. I don't know that I'm keeping a very watchful eye for that, though, or even always an open mind or a judgment-free excitement, right? But I do know that I have read about God's promises in this book, that I've studied it a little bit, that I've been taught by people who believe in the power and the love of God. I have been moved by the Holy Spirit in unexpected ways and inspired by the breath of life. So I guess I should be ready. But am I? I don't know. Are you? I don't know. Right? And as your hired pastor, as the person who's been invited to help you sift through this book and to find how we can connect with the world, perhaps I shouldn't be so all right with that answer, or maybe even so open with it up here in this place. And yet, it's the truth. I don't know if I would recognize Jesus if he were standing next to me. Because I'm still getting to know me, getting to know Jesus, and getting to know what it means to be a Christian in this world that looks so ugly sometimes, right? I see this news about war and the potential for more war and people's wondering what God's doing about it, if God's going to be present, if something's going to change. I see it on TV, and I try to just turn it off or flip the channel. And I like to think for a moment or two that doesn't need to affect my day. And then we talk to a mom in tears who says, "I think my daughter's going to be deployed." And I recognize that her heart and mine match for a moment, and I see that the war zone is much closer than I like to think. And then I encounter families who are trying to just make it through a day and keep up enough enthusiasm and live through the challenge of raising kids and caring for parents. And I think, oof, will they or I be even awake enough to recognize if Jesus were to be here? Right? In order to be aware, you got to be awake. Or at least it helps. Yeah. And then I wonder if I'll need a flyer in that pile through full of junk mail, right? And if it comes that way, if I'll even see it. Or if maybe it should be a commercial on the channel that my kids watch, right? Because, boy, do they learn those commercials so well. Yeah. Maybe I'll have to hear it from them. Mom, there's this thing that's going to happen. Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? Right? Maybe that's the only way that I'll hear it. Or maybe I won't be ready for that either. I don't expect to be fortunate enough to walk through the doors of a temple or a sanctuary and witness such an act that will just cause me to know that this is it, and yet, wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, that would be awesome. To be able to walk in and recognize that you are on holy ground in the presence of the Most Holy. And then I wonder if I did that, if I'd even know what to do. Right? As a kid, we were taught that some people pray on their knees next to their bed at night. We didn't really ever like to do that. So we would lay in our bed, Mom would tuck us in, then we'd close our eyes real tight and put our head down real tight and cold, and then we'd pray whatever prayer she told us to pray, right? And if Mom wasn't there to tuck you in at night, then I would try to remind my sister of the prayer, and if I got it wrong, we'd just do 3 or 4. Hope we got one that was right. Yeah. Oof. Right? I'm so glad they changed the words to one of those that we used to do, because it was always scary as a kid. Now I lay me down to sleep. After church, talk about that one together and see what words you come up with. Yeah. Right, but I wonder if my body will even know the position or the posture to take should the Holy One be in front of me or lifted in the light within my view. As we prepare for this new year, I invite you to think about how you can be ready to receive Christ again. Maybe you're ready. Then I invite you to teach us, to tell me what you've done to prepare your heart and your mind and your soul and your body and your space to be ready to receive Jesus. Tell me, inspire me, share it with me, please. Until then, I recognize I need to stay in tune with the Word and study the Bible and to be in the presence of God's people. That helps me. That helps me a lot. Until then, I hope we can lift each other up in God's light. That we can give thanks without reservation or challenge. Simeon just did it, right? He just, woohoo, you know, thanks for the privilege, God. Oh, I wonder how crazy it looked. Right, but I hope that we can just continue to dance in delight of God's faithfulness in our lives and that we can recognize that God's promises have been fulfilled, like this Christmas promise, and that we can know that God gave us the perfect gift, the gift of love in Jesus Christ. With God's help, may we be so awake and aware, I pray. Amen.